about your life being changed, my life being changed. Putting off the old ways and putting on the new ways. And once again, how is that done? To be made new. To be made new in the attitude of your mind.
Welcome to Beechwood Christian Church Podcast. Mark is beginning a series of sermons entitled God's Goals for His Church. Each sermon is taken from the book of Ephesians. Join us for this week's sermon entitled Off with the Old, On with the New. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24 and 25 through 32. May God bless you as you journey this life with our Lord Jesus.
So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, and separated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness.
Amen. Let's have a word of prayer together, okay? Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we are thankful for your Holy Spirit that takes that word and plants it in our minds and gives us the power to change that which we need to in our lives. Thank you for the transforming power that you have given to us. We thank you, God, for your presence here. Lord, we ask that you just may lead us and help us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, my mom used to have a prayer, and I've mentioned this little saying before. Fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough. And I have followed that many times. We've been talking about God's goals for his church. And now we're going to look with off with the old, on with the new. Okay, and we're going to take a look at exactly what that means. I want to ask the question, how many of you have ever seen a butterfly come out of its cocoon? Isn't that amazing? I have a picture of the monarch butterfly here. And of course, they are just beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to see that change happen with that caterpillar that goes into that cocoon, and then you see the beauty of the butterfly come out. Isn't that great? That is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to see the change that happens with a Christian also. For a person that had not believed in Jesus Christ to be transformed into the creature that God wants us to be. You know, Paul begins this chapter by saying, I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling. And now in this section, he says, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of your thinking. So, what does Paul insist? To what does Paul insist? Well, number one, you must no longer live as the Gentiles or unbelievers do. Okay, that's what that means. Number one, you must no longer live as the Gentiles or unbelievers or the pagans. I have a friend that's a Christian, and he says, "Whoa, my pagan life." And he talks about his pagan life before he became a Christian and how God transformed him. He says, "I was a pagan." And Paul goes on to describe that. He says that there was feudal thinking. Now, what does that mean, feudal thinking? That means that it's pointless. That their thinking had no reason. They just did whatever they wanted at the time. I'm beginning to think that we're becoming a society like that. A person who kills another person because of texting in a movie, or a person that throws popcorn at them so they shoot them, or a person that shoots in a car because of loud music. I wonder about the logic of people nowadays. Is it pointless? Well, there's another part that says about the unbeliever that they are separated from God. And that's part of the reason why the logic doesn't make any sense. And see, they have been darkened in their understanding. They're separated from God. So their thinking becomes dark or perverse. And we're seeing that happen more and more in our society, of perverse things happening as we separate ourselves from God as a nation. And it says, D, they harden their hearts. They harden their hearts so that they don't have to repent or think about the consequences of their actions. And E is having lost all sensitivity. Their hearts have become calloused. You know what that's like? Each sin becomes easier to do. Each lie becomes easier to say. And we don't have to think about it anymore. And we don't have to worry about it. It becomes easier to commit more hideous sins or more hideous crimes. And F, they are given over to sensuality on their sensual desires. You know, once that door is opened and you become calloused to sin, you may even state that a sin is no longer a sin. That's what's happening in our society. We're beginning to call things that are wrong, right. It's okay. Look at men who have taken as wives children, and they have taught that it's okay. And they have practiced it. And they've become perverted in things to convince people that it was okay. Or even that polygamy was okay. Or even womanizing. Or even homosexuality. That it's okay. When the Bible calls something a moral sin. Well, G says you can indulge in every kind of impurity. You're no longer bothered by it anymore, so you commit more until it's trapped you. It becomes a cycle of desire after desire. And Paul finally says that they have a continual lust for more. H. They have a continual lust for more. People, this is a prime example of how sin works. If we want to understand how sin works in the lives of people and in our lives, here is a prime example. It all starts with the mind, doesn't it? The mind that is separated from God can do terrible things. You get right with God, and He begins to shape your minds and your thoughts. And He will work from the inside out. That's the way it needs to be done. So Paul then begins to tell us that our mind needs to be shaped, and we secondly need to put off the old and put on the new. It's kind of like a computer. Oh, don't you love them? Yeah. When they work right, they're beautiful, but when they don't work right, they're hard to get along with. In fact, sometimes they have to be reformatted because of a corrupt file or a virus that have corrupted the files. The old has to come off and the new has to be put on. You know, repentance was so very important to the early church. And we don't talk much about repentance in the modern church. But the Bible was so emphatic about the putting off of the old and putting on the new and repenting of our sins. In fact, if you look at Ephesians 22 through 24, he says, "You were taught with regard to your former ways of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your," what? Minds. "And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Why is the church neglecting such things today? Because we want maybe a feel-good religion with no discipline required. But that's not what Christianity is about. You know, Christianity is all about change. Did you realize that? It's about your life being changed, my life being changed. Putting off the old ways and putting on the new ways. And once again, how is that done? To be made new. To be made new in the attitude of your mind. Now, I didn't cover some of the other verses that we're going to be on, but I want to quickly read what Paul said after this verse. It said these verses. In Ephesians 4, 25 through 32, he says, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work. Do something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that they may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as Christ God forgave you." And in your outline, I listed these things. You may notice that. I didn't leave it for you to fill in, because I want you to meditate on that. That we are to put off falsehood, lying. It doesn't have any place in the Christian life. And guess what? Whenever you take something away, you need to put something in. And Paul says, take off the falsehood, put on speaking truthfully. He says, off the anger that leads to sin. By the way, I used to think that anger was a sin. Anger is not a sin. There is an anger that leads to sin. Okay? And so Paul's not saying take off anger. He's saying take off anger that leads to sin. He says, put on the forgiving before the sun goes down. You know what happens when you go mad? Has anybody ever gotten mad with their spouse and they went to bed? Huh? You went to bed afterwards and, huh? Nobody. Oh, put on truth. No. You know, that has happened. That has happened. It's kind of interesting. My stepfather, though, never seemed to get angry. I always admired him about things like that. But you know, you go to bed and you're angry and you stew over it and you sleep about it and you wake up and you're a big old grump. There's an anger that leads to sin. And you know what? The sun goes down and Satan gives that opportunity to get a foothold on you. And he says, you say to yourself, I'm not going to say I'm sorry. I'm prideful. I got pride. I'm not going to say it. They're going to have to say it first. I'm going to stick to my guns. And we allow Satan a foothold. Don't allow the devil to get a foothold on you. You know? Take off stealing. Don't steal. And in place, what do? You work with your hands. Do something useful. How about the unwholesome talk? Okay? And I know that at work sometimes we hear it all the time, okay? But take it off. Speak only what is helpful, what builds one another up. And take off that bitterness, that rage, that kind of anger, okay? The kind that gives to brawling and slander or malice or wanting to do evil. And put on kindness, compassion, and forgiving. Well, let me ask you a question. Each and every one of us has grieved sometime in our lives, right? We've all experienced that. And I was looking at what the definition of grief was, and it said that it was deep sorrow, distress, or suffering. And I'm reminded of an Old Testament scripture that's found in Genesis, where we look at the heart of God and we look at His feelings. In Genesis 6, 5 through 8, we read this. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and every inclination of his thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that He had made man on the earth, and His heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth. Men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and the birds of the air. For I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Better thank Noah someday up in heaven. Because the human race could have been wiped out. And the sin of man, people, can truly grieve God. Each time we sin, we give Him grief. So, this is what God did. He gave His one and only Son to come to earth to die for those sins. How much more do you think God grieves when men reject Jesus Christ? When they reject Him or they know His Son, and yet we still live in a sinful way of life. That's why Paul insisted. That's why Paul insisted that we not live like unbelievers or pagans. God has given us blessings, people. He's given us blessing after blessing after blessing. He has empowered His church. He's given gifts to His church so that the gospel might be proclaimed to the world and that we might proclaim it to the heavenly rulers. Remember those rebellious angels, that we may proclaim the wisdom of God. So Paul insists that we take off the old and put on the new. And thirdly, that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Stop and think about this, people. The job of God's Holy Spirit is to work in your life. God's Holy Spirit is taking the Word of God, and He's convicting you of sin that you might change. And when you turn and you say no to Him, I will not be affected by your Holy Spirit, we grieve Him. He wants to transform us. God's Holy Spirit has been given to empower us. Take a look at Ephesians 4:30, where it just simply said, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, of whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." When we cast Him out of our lives, when we refuse Him the honor of cleansing us, the great counselor is rejected and he's put to shame. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is all about change, people. It's the monarch butterfly that is trying to emerge, so that we may be the creatures that God wants us to be. But you know what? You interrupt that, and what happens? They die. Don't interrupt the work of God in your life. How many of you ever heard of Dr. John Dewey? Anybody ever heard of him? Okay. He was an interesting guy. He was a psychologist. He was also a great philosopher. He was a great talker, okay? He could talk about things. He was famous throughout America, and his talks about education and also about social reform. And one day, he found his son, and his son was in the bathroom mopping. And Dr. Dewey stood there for a few minutes, and he tried to analyze the situation. And this went on for a while. And finally, his son stopped mopping. And he said, "Dad, now's not the time to philosophize. Now's the time to mop." I think God says that to us. Christians, it's time for action. It's time to stand up against the world that is calling wrong right. It's time for our lives to be changed by the power of Jesus Christ and for us to live it. It's time for us to be the monarch butterfly, to put off the old and put on the new.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. Feel free to visit us on our webpage at www.beechwoodchristian.org or come and worship with us. Services at Beechwood Christian Church are located at 12950 Easton Street, Northeast, in Alliance, Ohio. Sunday morning worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Sunday school for all ages is at 9:30 a.m. We'd love to have you come. May God bless you and your family, and may we look to Jesus as we journey through this life.